From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences his next message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 5, we find the children of Israel now encamped inside the land of Canaan. During the previous message, Dr. Cairns spoke of the reinstitution of the rite of circumcision, the covenant mark of the nation of Israel. Verses 10 through 12 relate the resuming of the Passover feast, an observance the children of Israel had not kept since the first anniversary of their exodus from Egypt. Before the battle for the land of Canaan could begin, Israel had to be reminded of the relationship between their redemption from the bondage of Egypt and the possession of the promised land. As Dr. Cairns will show, the New Testament links Israel's reinstitution of the Passover feast with the believers feasting upon Christ crucified as the key to entering into all that the Savior has purchased for Christians at Calvary. Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, The Passover at Gilgal, Feasting on Christ, in just a few minutes. But first, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
The text for this morning is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We go to Christ for forgiveness, and then too often look to the law for power to fight our sins. Paul thus rebukes us, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Take your sins to Christ's cross, for the old man can only be crucified there. We are crucified with Him. The only weapon to fight sin with is the spear which pierced the side of Jesus. To give an illustration, you want to overcome an angry temper. How do you go to work? It is very possible you have never tried the right way of going to Jesus with it. How did I get salvation? I came to Jesus just as I was, and I trusted Him to save me. I must kill my angry temper in the same way. It is the only way in which I ever can kill it. I must go to the cross with it, and say to Jesus, Lord, I trust Thee to deliver me from it. This is the only way to give it a death blow. Are you covetous? Do you feel the world entangle you? You may struggle against this evil so long as you please, but if it be your besetting sin, you will never be delivered from it in any way but by the blood of Jesus. Take it to Christ. Tell Him, Lord, I have trusted Thee, and Thy name is Jesus, for Thou dost save Thy people from their sins. Lord, this is one of my sins. Save me from it. Ordinances are nothing without Christ as a means of mortification. Your prayers and your repentances and your tears, the whole of them put together, are worth nothing apart from Him. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good, or helpless saints either. You must be conquerors through Him who hath loved you, if conquerors at all. Our laurels must grow among His olives in Gethsemane.
These are my own. You life with kindness, I know that you are there. Yes, O gentle Savior, my times are in your hands. When on the lofty mountains or through the dry parched lands. Yes, O gentle Savior, my life, my love, my own. You are my joy, my treasure. My heart shall be
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Now, Joshua chapter 5, and we'll read together from verse 10 to verse 12. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. You may recollect that last Lord's Day I said there were three very significant actions taken at Gilgal immediately after the children of Israel had passed over the River Jordan and before they proceeded to conquer and enter into the land of promise and possession. The first of those significant actions was the reinstitution of the rite of circumcision. And I'm not going to seek to repeat the area we covered last week, but that was a very significant action from a spiritual and theological standpoint. The second significant action was the reinstitution of the observance of the Passover. And as we'll see in due course, the third was Joshua's meeting with the captain of the Lord's host. This morning, we want to pay some attention to the reinstitution of the observance of the Passover at Gilgal. Matthew Henry remarks that the men of Jericho must have greatly wondered at the activities of Joshua and the children of Israel after they had crossed the River Jordan. Many years later, the Lord said of another Joshua, in Zechariah 3 verse 8, "Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at." And I think Matthew Henry was right in saying that the first Joshua and his men were men greatly wondered at. Certainly the men of Jericho had never seen anybody make war like this before. Having got themselves into position, having driven their enemies from all the outlying towns and settlements into the city, having set up virtually a siege of the city, it made good military sense as far as the defenders were concerned, trying to read the minds of the opposition. It made good military sense to press their advantage. Yet they didn't do it. First of all, they reinstituted circumcision. And that meant that for many days, their army was incapacitated as the healing process of surgery to the flesh took place. Then they set up the reobservance of the Passover. And of course, if you know the laws regarding the Passover, that took an entire week to have the feast of unleavened bread. The men of Jericho certainly would have found it difficult to understand, what are they doing? They're not making fresh weapons. They're not sending out scouting parties. They're not making war at any level. I think that probably even some of the Israelites must have found this a strange way of proceeding. Humanly speaking, it made so much sense to press their advantage before Jericho could possibly call up reinforcements or strengthen its defenses. Every day of delay seemed to the human mind to leave the children of Israel more exposed, more in danger, and certainly very much more vulnerable. But you see, the Israelites had to learn an ageless lesson. It was a lesson that Paul the Apostle taught the Corinthian church centuries later. And it's a lesson that the people of God must relearn in every age and every situation. And it's this: the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They make no sense to the mind of the flesh. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And all that the Lord had Joshua and the children of Israel do at Gilgal, preparatory to entering into their possessions in Canaan and fighting all the battles that entry demanded, were necessary actions, and certainly this was no exception. And so it was, in obedience to the leading of God, that Joshua led the children of Israel in celebrating the Passover at Gilgal. That action spanned the years of wilderness wandering, just as did the first action of instituting again the rite of circumcision. It spanned the years of wilderness wandering because it immediately linked their entrance into Canaan with their redemption out of Egypt. I think that it is true to say, though John Calvin disputes this, but his argument is totally an argument from silence here, and has great difficulty dealing with certain texts, which I'll not take up time dealing with this morning. But I think that it can be shown that this was only the third time that the nation of Israel celebrated the Passover. The first time they celebrated it was in Egypt, the night that the death angel passed through. Then 1 year later, the scripture tells us, they celebrated the Passover on the first anniversary of their escape from Egypt. But for the rest of the 40 years of wandering, for another 39 years, there is not the slightest hint of Israel keeping the Passover. Just as circumcision fell out of usage, the Passover was not observed. And I don't want to follow this line in any detail, but those two things go together. Because the Passover could only be observed by a circumcised people. And so as the first rite dropped out, the second also failed to be observed. I think it was also part of the judgment of God upon the nation's disobedience, that these two sacraments, the Old Testament sacraments of circumcision and the Passover, both fell into disuse. So the first Passover was in Egypt, the second was 1 year later, and then almost 40 years without it, now entering into Canaan, Joshua reinstituted the Passover. You see, it was very vital for the children of Israel to perceive the connection between their redemption out of Egypt and their possession of the promised land. Only when they celebrated the Passover did they begin to enjoy the fruits of Canaan. That is specifically stated. Now, exactly why that should be, the Holy Ghost doesn't tell us. And when the Spirit doesn't tell us those things, I think we are well advised to focus on the spiritual significance of the fact rather than try to understand why. We would have to say, when the children of Israel entered into Canaan, there must have been every opportunity to eat the corn, the old corn, that the people in the various settlements had left behind them in their flight to get into the defense city of Jericho. But they didn't eat of it. There was no old corn of the land. There was none of the new corn that needed to be parched before it could be used. There was none of that until they ate the Passover. Now, this was a very, very great spiritual lesson to the children of Israel. It was tying their entrance and enjoyment of Canaan directly to the redemption. And the fact that they only went to the enjoyment of the fruit of the land the day after they had eaten the Passover lamb again reinforced the message that God was getting over to them and through them was getting over to the rest of us. Israel was in no doubt as to the meaning of this Passover. Exodus 12, 24 through 27 tells us what that meaning was. Moses had spelled this out to the children of Israel. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And when you're in the promised land and they come and they ask you, what do you mean by this service? Ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Now, this was the meaning. And as Joshua observed the Passover, he was telling this new generation, as you enter into Canaan, remember this, observe this, never forget it. There was a night in Egypt when God went through and he cut a great swathe of death and destruction through the land. But by the blood of the Lamb upon our houses, he delivered us from that awful condemnation. That was the meaning. Because of that, we have this today. We are left in no doubt that the same meaning is applicable to us. Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now let me make that very clear. In other words, what I'm saying today is not inventiveness on the part of the preacher. It is not the imagination or the skill at spiritualizing of the preacher. It is the explicit, express, intended message and meaning of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the Passover, he says, see Christ. See Christ. That means when we look at Joshua reinstituting the observance of the Passover, we can also see Christ. That lets me put it this way, that in Joshua's action, there is wrapped up some very clear New Testament doctrine. Joshua's act proclaimed a great New Testament truth. It's this, that God's people enter into their possessions by experiencing the power of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. They enter into their possessions by experiencing the power that is in Christ Jesus. Let me put that in a slightly simpler fashion. As they ate the Passover, they're picturing the believer feasting on Christ. And I trust that you see the meaning, therefore, that feasting on Christ crucified is the key to God's people entering into their possessions. Feasting on Christ, if you want it, comes before fighting for Christ, as the conquest of Canaan would signify.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.